Okay, thanks. So, the title of my talk is Carroll-Duram Complex. So, just for briefness, I will call it CDR and generalized geometry. So I will spend presumably a lot of time. Basically, I would assume that you don't know much about CDR, and I will try to explain you what CDR is. But roughly speaking, this is a sheaf of vertex algebras. So before I just say that, well, my interest is, and I will talk in some part about. Here about paper I wrote with Raimundo Helloani. So it's 08-12-48-55. So there will be hopefully more papers. I will spend some time just reminding you about CDR, so I assume that you don't know much. Then I will tell you again about generalized geometry. And things like generalized complex structure. And in fact, I will try to make a point that these two guys love each other. Okay? So, in fact, all these notions can be just derived from there right away. And then the result of our paper is that if you would like to have on CDR n equal to SUSY algebra on CDR, then this works when we have a generalized Calabi-Yau. Okay, and then I will try to put these things in a wider perspective. It's basically I'm interested in CDR not because of this formal construction, but because its relation to nonlinear sigma models. So I will try tell you that there is a striking similarities between sigma model and what we are doing here. So I will speculate, I will present some speculations on the relation is nonlinear sigma model. So let me start with a CDR and first of all with vertex algebra. So vertex algebra is a notion which physicists know very well. And basically, it can be formalized in the following way. So we have a vector space, which may be super vector space. Then we have a distinguished state, which people call vacuum. And we have a translational operator. And then we have a correspondence, field state correspondence. And basically, this map maps every state to the formal expansion in zeta. Zeta minus one. Okay. And so if I have here state A, then I identify this with A zeta, so with a field. And then there are the following axioms here. First of all, well, that vacuum is translationally invariant. Then basically, the state which corresponds to the vacuum, well, its identity. So identity corresponds to the vacuum in this correspondence. Okay, and if I take any state, any field, and I add on the vacuum, and I evaluate this at zeta equals 0, this is just a state by itself. And second, so of course, if you will look at the, so I have a distinguished endomorphism of this space, and if I look this with any field, this would be just derivative along zeta. Okay. And then there is what's called locality, that for any two fields, for large enough n, this is the following relation. So when n is big enough. And then there is a standard stuff that, you know, you can, I mean, this is one way of defining vertex algebras. You can define it in many other ways, but you just know what really we encoding, that, you know, we have two fields and then we can write this as some OPE to some n, cj, w, zeta minus wj plus normal ordering. So equivalently, I can think of, so these guys, I can think of as A and acting on B, just to define like this. So in a way, all the things can be reformulated, and that's what some people do as infinitely many operations on V times V, which send to V. So a priori, we have infinitely many operations coming from the vertex algebra here, and in general, they are neither commutative or associative. It is very complicated theorem. So if you look at some papers about vertex algebra, there is a horrible exploration about relation this between this operation, and this is just one of the way of encoding. Okay, and typically we would like to have what's called conformal vector algebra. Saying that we would have a distinguished element L such that we will have a field L zeta, so its component will satisfy Virasoro. And then we would have a natural gradient coming from L0, so our V will be decomposed in the conformal weights. So we would, I mean, our operator L0 will be diagonalizable on this space V, and eigenvalue of this guy will give us conformal weight. Okay. So why I'm spending some time on this? What one can observe is the following interesting structure before we go into any geometry. So if we take a vertex algebra and we will restrict ourselves to V0, V1, okay, then we would look at the vacuum, we would look at translation, and then I will look only at three operations. So minus one, zero, one. Then I will get the following. So this is, I think, so this is observation due to Bressler. One will get the following algebraic structure. So he called it one truncated vertex algebra. Okay. So what one gets is the following. So basically what I will do, if I look at the elements VW in this space, I will get two operations. So first of all, I can define one operation as a V0 on W. Let me call this operation like this. So then in fact, this operation will give me a Leibniz algebra on V. V1. So meaning that this is not, of course, anti-symmetric operation, but it would satisfy the relation of the following sort. V W star lambda is the same as V star W star lambda plus W star V lambda. So this operation is a derivation. So if it would be anti-symmetric, then it would be automatically Jacobi, but it's not, okay? Then another operation, again on these elements, is the following one. So that's I would like to call a pairing, and in fact, it would be mapped from V1 times V1 to V0, okay? Then if I would look at these elements, for example, if I call fg in V0, then f minus 1 g, well, I will denote fg. So in fact, with respect to this operation, V0 would be just commutative algebra. So in fact, one can, I'm going to reproduce exactly all the same structure out of geometry. And then one of the main points in generalized geometry, I will try to make that the vertex algebra knows everything about geometry and the other way around, at least about this generalized geometry. So what I'm hitting here, I'm not writing all axioms. I will do it later on. But basically, the structure we will get. So we take any vertex algebra, and we restrict to conformal weight 0 and 1, and the structure, which lately people like Reutenberg is calling, would be called current Dorfman algebra. Again, I'm not writing all properties. I will write them later on much more clearly, at least for case of tangent plus cotangent bundle. But what I would like to stress at the present moment that if you truncate the vertex algebra, you get a very nice algebraic structure. So in a way, you can think of these guys in future being a functions, and this will be in sum of vector field plus one forms. Okay. Let me go to CDR, just define it, and then discuss the geometry. So the idea is, in Carroll-Derham complex, first of all, the name is horrible in a way that we don't care really. I will comment later about that it's a complex, so it's Carroll-Derham complex. And all these words are confusing, I think. But due to historical reasons, that's what we will do. The idea is basically we will take a manifold and try to attach to any open set some conformal free field theory and then try to glue it together in some geometrical way. So let me just review. So if we will take Rn, then we can identify the following vertex algebra to this. So let me write all fields. So this is being two bosons and this being determinants. And then the OP which I would require is the following, then gamma mu zeta beta nu w will be delta mu nu zeta minus w, well, plus regular term, and then for fermions I will have beta. Plus regular term. So if I would write in expansion, then this would be just a Heisenberg algebra. Gamma mu beta mu m. This would be delta n plus m. Kronecker for mu nu. And then this would be a Clifford for fermions. Okay, so zero mods for this will form a Clifford algebra. What I can do, so I'm just identifying to Rn this CFT, which would be generated by these relations. Okay, and of course, what I can build, basically the Fock space out of these guys. I will have a fields, etc., and then, of course, one of the interesting things is that what will be here, if I will look at zero mod. So if I look formally at the polynomials of gamma 0, 1, etc., gamma 0, n, tensor with wedge of C 0, 1, etc., then this would be, I can think of them as a differential forms on Rn. So what I can try and then next to do, and that's what people do in CDR, I'll try and think of this guy as being a coordinate. So, sorry? Why Rn? Well, I mean, it's basically any affine space you can take. You don't have to take. No. So then what I can do, just I can create the rules of gluing things together and see if it makes sense. So again, what we have to check, whatever rules we create, they should be automorphism of this vertex algebra to make sense. For example, the rules which one can develop is the following. So if I introduce, so I have zeta, let me introduce theta, so it's a Grassmannian variable, so theta square equal to zero, then I can put these guys together in the following way. Is S gamma mu zeta plus theta C mu zeta, and then S mu zeta T. I will put as d mu zeta plus theta, beta mu. And what I would declare that if I, again, I'm not spending time, one of the problem is to make sure that this is defined, you know, at the level of vertex algebras, but naively, if I could make sense of this transformation, and then S mu is transforming as a one form. And if I make sense this at the level of vertex algebra, then one can show that this is in fact is automorphism of this vertex algebra. Now, so originally it's not this rule, so beta will transform as complicated. So this will transform as a coordinate, this will transform as a vector, one form, but beta will transform rather complicated. And so what one will do is basically one will put on the manifold, so over every patch, one would put this beta gamma BC system and then use these gluing rules. So, and then one has to really prove that this gives us rise to the sheaf of vertex algebras. And this is what's called CDR. So chiral presumably stands that we are dealing with a chiral vertex algebra. And CDR is that, in fact, it's a complex, and we can introduce the analog here of Dirac. And then this complex is, in fact, quasi-isomorphic to differential forms on the manifold. But again, here it's not my preoccupation about this fact. Okay. So now what we can do in the manifold, so let me come back to this observation I was doing before about, so if you remember, I was saying that if I restrict attention to this subsector with, you know, these operations minus 1, 0, 1, then this is where an interesting structure appears. So let's just think, I mean, here. So we take, so we have a sheaf of vertex algebra, so we glue things together, and then the objects which would be here of conformal weight zero. So again, one can introduce here, in fact, n equal to algebra. That's what originally was introduced. Well, n equal 1. This is by construction because of theta. So now if I look at V0 sector, so I have a sheaf, I can talk about global sections. Global sections by themselves will form a vertex algebra. So these guys will be in correspondence with the functions on the manifold. And then objects here will be in correspondence with the sections of tangent bundle plus cotangent bundle. The next question one can ask, okay, cool, so this is our object, but which operations we are really inducing here by from vertex algebra? One can calculate it in this way, and operations we are inducing is let me symbolically write that if I have V1 plus W1, V2 plus W2. So by this I mean that I identify V plus W, I can understand as V mu, S mu plus mu. So it will be derivative, so I will have another operator d theta minus theta d theta. So I take a section T plus T star, and then I automatically have a section of Carl Durand. So it's globally defined section. I can calculate its bracket. And this would go to the following bracket, V1 plus there will be some term, basically some d of derivative delta function times V1 plus W1 V2 plus W2. So let me define everything. So the operation, so it's a matter of calculation here. So V1 plus W1 star V2 plus W2 will be a Lie bracket of V1 is V2 plus Lie derivative of V1 of W2 minus I V2 W1. This typically goes under the name of Dorfman bracket. And then, if you look this is V1 plus W1. V2 plus W2 is just pairing between forms. Again, a priori, in this case, you know, if you take original definition of Carl Durand complex, how it was introduced historically through this gluing, and then one just, you know, takes these global sections, you know, identify them with sections of T plus T star, that this calculation, the bracket which will pop up, will be a Dorfman bracket with this pairing. And then, you know, since we are looking at this sector, so we are looking basically at one truncated vertex algebras, then all properties which I told you will be satisfied. So in fact, this bracket will be a Leibniz bracket. So it will be a Leibniz bracket. Then this would be a pairing. So pairing would be just, it's something which sends from sections T plus T star to the functions. And then one can check different properties of this. think, for example, one of them, so if I denote AB being a section there, and for example, if I decided to star F, then this is the same as F. So I mean, right now it's just a matter of calculating. I gave all definitions, one can calculate it, and then, so for example, this property. So D is a DRAM, so D stands for DRAM. Okay, and then another presumably important property I would like to calculate, so if I have a pairing A, D, B, C, this is the same as A star B C plus B A star C. So here, I mean, in this concrete example, if I write these definitions, I can check these properties, or you can explain them from point of view vertex algebra, that, you know, if you have a vertex algebra and you truncate it, then all this, as I said, Kuhn-Dorfman structures are just there automatically. What one can do as the next step, and that's in fact the way to go to coordinate independent description of chiral DRAM complex, one can look at these properties which we derived here, and one can postulate them. So that goes under the name of current algebra. Current algebraic will be, so we would like to reproduce algebraic structure which we will get on this one truncated vertex algebra. So again, the model example is T plus T star plus function. So we would like to have a vector bundle over M. Then we would have some bundle morphism over Tm over M. So this map pi is called anchor. And if you look at this object on the sections of this vector bundle, they will be equipped with two operations. So they will be equipped with a Leibniz bracket. So the bracket is not antisymmetric in general, but it should satisfy the Leibniz. Then it will be equipped with a bilinear symmetric pairing. So meaning, so the symmetric pairing will be sending gamma E, gamma E to the functions. Okay. Then moreover, what you would like to say, so you would like that bracket here under pi goes to bracket here. So here's a bracket with the Lie bracket. And right, and then you would have a number of properties. One of them, for example, again, it's just checking these properties. So for AB plus B star A, one would like, so here's also will be the map. I would like to introduce the map. Well, which would be in this example was a differential, which would send functions to sections of E. It will be D of pairing. And then, in fact, let me not repeat. I can just postulate also these properties. Besides, I mean, I'm not writing that I would require from begin that this is Leibniz. Okay. So, in fact, if you now try to think back, and that was, again, one of the motivation of Bressler, that basically if you have any current algebraic, you can associate, so for any current algebraic, we can associate the sheaf of Suzy vertex algebras. The original construction which I was sketching, it was done for T plus T star. But sort of, for example, you can introduce a three closed form and write for different current algebras when they will be extra term. And that you can do for any current algebra. Sorry? No. Yeah, I mean, you can take guys here and they will generate everything. So it's like there when I had, you know, coordinate and beta, I'm not discussing other fields, but they will generate everything. So he's exactly the same. Okay. Basically, the infinity of M will go to the, so if I denote this Carl Durham complex associated not Carl Durham complex, but now I'm just talking generally about sheaf of vertex algebras. It will go there. Then I also will have my sections. I can change their parity and put that here. This is the sheaf. And so, in fact, this is, I mean, the best coordinate independent way of describing the sheaf of vertex algebra. So for any current algebraoid of a manifold, you have a sheaf of vertex algebras. And this is just one particular example. Okay. And in fact, on T plus T star, if you would like to generalize, you can do it for T plus T star in any closed form, because in general, you can easily write a Dorfman bracket. You can write extra term IV1, IV2, H, where H is a closed tree form. Okay. So before I go on, that in principle, that was what Raimundo was doing. I was doing the same stuff, but in a classical level. So in fact, there is the same structures up here. So let me just make a comment about this. Exactly the same structures up here if I would do things classically. So instead of looking at vertex algebra, I will look at the Poisson algebra. So this is just comments which I will. But if I, for example, will look at the, so if I think about strings, then my configuration for strings will be the loop space, a super loop space, and then the phase space will be, of the string will be cotangent bundle of the loop space, and then I can look at functional there, and I have a bracket. So it's this is symplectic manifold, and I can write using the same notations. I can write my symplectic structure this way. In fact, there is symplectic structures here parameterized by a closed tree form as well. Okay. And then I can repeat exactly the same calculation here. So typically, you're interested not on all functionals. You're interested only on particular functionals. Here, you look only local functionals. Typically, here, all other functionals are too complicated to deal with. You can look at local functionals and calculate their brackets as well defined. And so, for example, the simplest local functional you can write, which would be, again, of the same type I was writing before. So I can take a section of T plus T star and write a local functional on this space and calculate the bracket. And exactly like in vertex algebra, it will be mapped to exactly the same relation. So at this point, you can see that and you can talk about, you know, well, at least formal quantization. You know, I'm doing here classical calculations, and here I replaced, you know, my Poisson bracket by quantum bracket. Okay. Good. So anyhow, this lesson is telling that the current algebraoids were known, I think, from mid of 90s, and what was introduced later is, so the correct notions, I mean, if you take this geometry, so what goes typically under the name of generalized geometry, it's a geometry on T plus T star when it's equipped with a Dorfman bracket, okay, and then pairing. So there is sometimes what people call a current bracket, AB. It's just anti-symmetrization of a Dorfman bracket. This goes under the name of current bracket, and this goes under the name of Dorfman bracket. Okay. So in fact, one would think, you know, once you have done this calculation, and once one believes that the correct geometrical framework for C4-vertex algebra should be, this geometry, which is based on Dorfman bracket, then one can think about other notions. And then, for example, in 2002, Hitchin introduced the notion of a generalized complex geometry. So let me remind you what is it, and then coming back, I will come back to the C4-vertex algebras. Well, what do? You basically take your T plus T star, that is the following. You are trying to mimic the definition of complex geometry as much as possible, but on T plus T star. So you complexify this. Okay. And then you would call a generalized complex geometry a map, which maps T plus T star to itself. It squares to minus one, and then J respects the pairing. Okay. And right, and then the eigen bundle. So if I look at eigen bundles of this J, then it will be decomposed in L plus L bar. So because it respects the pairing, you can easily check that this would be a maximum isotropic with respect to the pairing. So the pairing on T plus T star, it's a metric of signature D comma D, and this is maximal isotropic subspaces. And now, so this is algebraic, that's what you would call almost generalized complex structure. And then integrality is coming when you would require that L is involutive if with respect to Dorfman bracket. It doesn't matter, in fact, if you use Dorfman or current in this setup, because they will coincide in this subspace. Involutive meaning that for any sections A and B, sections of L, their bracket A star B will be sections of L. Okay, so this is a, so if I have this structure, this will be called generalized complex structure. Let me give a couple of examples, which is very motivating examples of this stuff. So namely, of course, you know, it's called, so, I mean, the name is misleading a bit because it generalized not only a not only a complex structure, but also symplectic. So for example, if I will choose my endomorphism T plus T star being diagonal, I will write something this like this. So I have to write here minus J transpose, because in this case it's automatically respects the pairing. Then one can see that this object is, so this is a generalized complex structure. Well, if and only if, so J here is now mapped from tangent bundle to tangent bundle, if J is a complex structure. So this is why it's named generalized complex structure, but you can take another example, which is completely off diagonal. So now omega will be a two form. So again, these matrices I'm writing in the basis T plus T star. And so now this is generalized complex structure if and only if omega is symplectic structure. So it could be equally called generalized symplectic structure, I don't know, complectic structure. So symplectic and complex structures naturally they come about. So the moral what I'm trying to say that in fact from point of view vertex algebras it is and how they feel things, they don't really feel much difference between this and this in a certain sense. Okay. So that's maybe in the long run and future will help to explain the mirror symmetry in some way. Of course here, so, I mean now by nowadays people constructed very exotic examples so of manifolds which neither complex or symplectic, but they admit generalized complex structure. Okay. So now coming back to the vertex algebras, then in fact the main statement, so one would like to ask the following thing, that if we have a sheaf, for example, that we can associate to any current algebraoid, but again, my main example will be just having in mind the simplicity T plus T star, when we can write a general N equal to algebra on global sections of CDR, or in general, the sheaf of the SUSY vertex algebras. So the answer is the following, that one can write this, so what one would like to need, so there's two answers. If I would like to do it only classically, then I will need that my M is a generalized complex manifold. So classically, I mean that if I would try to think about Hamiltonian quantization of the string, and I would like to ask this general question. And this setup, if that's what we proved with Raimunda, that if one would like to have an N equal to structure here, then you need a generalized collider. Condition. I can explain. So one can introduce again, that was one of the main motivating. In fact, the original paper by Hitchin was called generalized collider manifolds. And so let me explain what is generalized collider condition. And again, I will talk about T plus T star as example, but everything can be generalized. So if I have a T plus T star, then basically generalized complex structure means that I can decompose L plus L bar. And this would be maximal isotropic equality with respect to Dorfman bracket. Now, the sections of this, so V plus W, always acts on the differential forms. in the following way. It will be contraction with rho plus wh rho. And this is in fact Clifford action. One can calculate that, you know, if you act one section, another, plus you calculate anti-commutator, then here on the right-hand side, you will get a pairing. It will be like Clifford algebra. So in fact, the differential forms, so what I'm saying is the differential forms, just representation of ODD spinners. Okay, and then if I look algebraically on this maximal isotropic space, and I can introduce, well, one would call a pure spinner. Which I would define the following, that for any section A from L, if I take A, it acts on rho, it's zero. Algebraically, I can always do it. Of course, if I can do a whole manifold, the thing, it's a topological condition. So I mean, the Chern class, first Chern class should vanish. Okay. So basically, the generalized Calabi-Yau condition, is saying that I can define there is exist global form. It's typically never of definite degree, and this form is closed. Or if I have H around, it will be D plus H wh rho closed. And then, moreover, rho will be a pure spinner. Meaning that by this condition, it will define me maximal isotropic subbundle of T plus T star. Okay. Well, if just I will go back to these examples which I was considering, then in complex example. One can see, so here rho will be a holomorphic 2,0 form. And of course, this you can see that not for every complex manifold it exists. Okay, and moreover, it should be closed. So this is a complex example for generalized Calabi-Yau condition. So this guy should be closed. If I look at another example there, which non-degeneracy? Yeah. I mean, I forgot to say that rho bar should be non-zero. So this would be a Mouquet pairing. So they will be, you're right. I forgot to tell that on these spinners I can define the invariant pairing, and so sometimes it's called Mouquet pairing. Yeah, thank you. And this should be non-zero. So this condition basically will guarantee me the following thing, that I will define it using rho L, and L bar will be defined by rho bar, and the intersection will be empty. So this condition is guaranteed. Otherwise, if I'm not imposing this is not guaranteed. Just forgot to say it. In complex case, a pure spinner, symplectic example. The pure spinner is the following form. Its exponent I omega. And of course, this pure spinner always exists, and it's always closed. So symplectic manifolds I already in this definition of generalized Calabi-Yau. While complex manifold, of course, you have to impose further conditions. Okay? Well, now, if coming back, translating this, statement for n equal to algebra, then basically on any symplectic manifold you can introduce n equal to algebra, and for the complex manifold introduce n equal to algebra of global sections of your sheaf, you will need further conditions. Okay, so I think soon I will have last 5-10 minutes. So of course you can repeat here. So once you have n equal to algebra, so you have super Virasoro algebra, you can twist things, you can do, you know, let me just comment briefly, you can do topological twists. Okay, so one can do topological twist. And so one will have our sheaf of Suzy vertex algebras with some BRST operator. And one can easily prove that it will be quasi-isomorphic to so now this is, I'm doing it very briefly, this is Lie algebroid differential. So like people were doing with Dirac, I mean, one can construct for generalized Calabi-Yau manifold, one can construct an equal to algebra. Once you have an equal to algebra, you can do the twisting, because in a standard way, you will have a BRST operator, which will square to zero. And then all non-trivial cohomology will sit in conformal weight zero. And this would be just this geometrical stuff, so which is one can expect. Okay. So let me try to, in remaining time, to make some speculations, because so in a way the story is that I mean, I was doing classical calculation and Raimundo was doing more quantum stuff, and then at some point we merged, and that suggests certain interpretations. So let me speculate a bit at this point. And because the main issue here is that is Carol Dirac complex something formal, or it has to do anything with a nonlinear sigma model? If it has something to do with this nonlinear sigma model, how exactly? So what one can do, I mean, what sort of we realize that with this CDR side, or general sheaf of Suzy vertex algebras, this classical side, which I don't know, I think one can call it sheaf of Poisson vertex algebras, but I mean, this is nothing more, it's just considering local functionals. On cotangent bundle of superloop space. So that's why if you would do the sigma model and you would like to do it canonically, then you know your configuration space on, is all loops on M, and then you know phase space would be just cotangent bundle of this guy. Okay, and you know, we would do here calculations. So for example, for certain sections I already told that you know Dorfman bracket will appear. But again, let me say that from beginning, this is just a Hamiltonian approach. So this is Hamiltonian approach to sigma model. So if I would take a sigma model and do standard Hamiltonian approach, that's where I will sit. Okay, I get Dorfman bracket. Then I told this, for example, if I would ask when I have n equal to supersymmetry, I will have a generalized complex manifolds, etc. And then if I would like to, in this approach, to have a full sigma model, I have to pick up thing which I will call Hamiltonian, right? And then I will write a flow equation. You know, for anything I have here, I will write bracket, classical bracket, O with H. Hamiltonian And then, you know, if you look at this side, then many statements goes here right away, other way around. Presumably, it's much more precise, you know, to say that if we have calculations here, in certain terms, we can take a classical limit and end up here. Okay. But, you know, if this is Hamiltonian setup, and this is a, I mean, we can get this out of classical limit of this, then this should be basically a quantum counterpart of Hamiltonian setup. And, well, then basically you can now take the same flow equations, but now instead of bracket, it will be commutator. So in fact, it was, well, done completely independent. So let me make this comment. So hello, Annie. In 0C. So here took a usual Calabi-Yau. And he looked at the structure associated to the sheaf of vertex algebras, and he constructed two copies of n equal 2. Well, physicists would write it 2, 2. And each copy would have a central charge 3 over 2 dimensions of the manifold. Okay. So one of the objects here, well, it's not called an original paper, H, is exactly the same what appeared here in our early analysis of classical mechanics. So in fact, one of the objects just a full Hamiltonian of nonlinear sigma model. Okay. So, well, basically, what would be Hamiltonian here? I mean, of course, what I will write now, it looks like something obvious. It will be, you know, L0 plus L0 bar. But if you look at local expressions, it looks rather complicated, and it's exactly Hamiltonian, which is here. And if you write equations, it gives you an equation of motions of nonlinear sigma model. So CDR knows if you pick up this Hamiltonian and you take this flow equation seriously, then CDR, in certain respect, knows everything about classical dynamics of sigma model. Of course, it's a question of interpretation. But, you know, it was this belief which is in the literature that CDR knows about only perturbative stuff. But, you know, we can recover this correct identification in principle. We can recover, again, here the question is how one understands this equation. It's, you know, local versus global. But, for example, if we think this on the as equation on the global sections of CDR, then in some sense we can recover all classical dynamics and maybe even more. So again, this speculation we just suggest about relation between Carol Durham complex and nonlinear sigma model. So in a way, CDR should be understood as a Hamiltonian. Of course, it's a formal in certain sense, because you look at the loops in a formal sense. But the idea further on would be to study these flow equations and see what they will give. But, you know, a priori, one would never expect that you can get, you know, full Hamiltonian. I mean, they coincide one-to-one. It's pretty striking. So, and we derived a priori, the derivation of them was done in completely from different ideas. So here we derived Hamiltonian from first principles. So we took a Lagrange and, you know, the run whole procedure. We derived Hamiltonian, the written in fancy language, etc. And then it appears here exactly as a correct part of algebra. And then, in a way, what Raimundo proved that, you know, on Calabi-Yau, you have left and right movers on Calabi-Yau. Through the CDR, you can construct left and right movers, CFTs, and they charge as this. So that's exactly what we would like to do. So I think I will stop here. Thank you. What is a large genus? Well, I know large volume, it's a volume which is large, but I don't understand the question. Right, right. Well, about this, it's just speculation. I cannot say much at this point. You know, I mean, the idea is, of course, would be that you would think that, you know, CDR or, I mean, you know, sigma model should be the same over mirror manifold, so there should be some map between, you know, this guy on one Calabi-R and on another Calabi-R. But here I cannot say. And moreover, here also it's, I mean, the notion of generalized Calabi-R, there are two notions on the market, one with metric and another without metric. Right. Yeah, you have to do it. I mean, of course, for example, if you start to think about this, then, you know, people know that, for example, you know, this CDR wouldn't be whole story if it's your manifold is not simply connected, etc. So you have to deal with all these issues. But right, but for example, I'm saying is if my M is not simply connected, then the loop space wouldn't be connected, for example.
Yeah, but I think we have to
know
about that.
Okay. I mean, here many manipulations are formal. Okay. So, I mean, when I'm calculating here, I'm not really caring about which loop space exactly. I'm treating it formal loop space, basically. All calculations done as a formal loop space. And then